only station in Sacramento giving you local sports coverage from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday. Sactown Sports.
Stiles and Watkins, Sactown Sports, take you up to 2 p.m. Thank you for joining us if you've been rocking with us. If you just joined us, thank you for joining. Hope you're enjoying your Monday. Let's get through some YouTube chat because you know we love our YouTube chats here as we talked about the best dunks of the season for the Kings so far. Caesar 916 says Keegan bodied Chet. That's right, Caesar. Oof. As we have De'Aaron Fox, who tried to tell Keegan that it wasn't a body-to-body dunk. So you have that. You have a couple other people. Let's see, Jesse Scotto. Who's going to body Wemby? I don't know.
Malik's going to try. Malik is definitely going to try.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I feel like guards especially look at big men like they're mountains. And right. It's like, I'm going to climb that.
Yeah.
I am going to climb that mountain one day.
I can get that done. The 209 says, bring the house down, Kings fans. I think that's for all the Kings fans that are going to be at the game.
We never got our stamp. What are we putting for dunk of the year? Who holds the crown right now?
Well, if we're not counting Malik.
So let's try and keep track of this with the separate De'Aaron Keegan bet, and then we'll also do Kings wide. De'Aaron doesn't even have one yet.
He doesn't.
So that's why Keegan's definitely winning that bet right now. I don't care what De'Aaron says. I don't care what Malik says.
Right.
Keegan is winning that bet right now.
Keegan is 1,000% winning.
He even
that
got
bet.
One in preseason, if I'm not mistaken, too.
And will De'Aaron have one tonight if he plays? He's got some opportunity.
You got Jared
Allen. You got Mobley.
Got a couple mountains. You got some twin peaks there.
Just stay on the court. We don't need to do all that yet.
Not yet.
Do all that.
I'm going to give it to Malik, though. I'm going to say Malik holds the crown right now.
Yes.
For best dunk.
I would agree. Yeah.
It's going to be tough to.
You guys said it's maybe the best dunk in the entire NBA this season.
Yeah.
The Malik one. Yeah, it is.
Yeah. It is.
Thank you to the YouTube chat being a part of the conversation. And, of course, to the text line, call line, 916-339-1140. The Monk Yard Dog, as
Come
we talk
now.
About Malik Monk, king of the clutch. I like that dog. That's a good one. That's a good one. Good job, Kyle.
Better than Nate's dog.
Way better. It's not hard to be better than Nate's dog. I think Nate's just trolling us at this point. Because you talk about the king of the clutch, you talk about De'Aaron Fox.
Yep.
De'Aaron Fox, who has not played, who may play tonight, as from a report from our guy, Sam Amick, who I just met last game, by the way. Nice guy.
Sam's so
Does
great.
A great job when he is on Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross, so be sure to tune in when he hops on as well. Sam, in cahoots with Shams, have both said that it's very possible that De'Aaron Fox plays tonight, and if not tonight, on Wednesday, and if not, the day after that.
Exactly. But, which I don't quite know what the update is.
Right, it's, the update is that we kind of don't have an update. Yeah.
And I'm telling you, that's not nothing. I think it's really something that those guys, especially Sam as well, because Sam's thrown in that as well, but I think Sam is more connected than just about anybody. But the fact that they don't have a direct answer, again, I'm telling you, it's a very real thing, and I love to hear it, that the Kings really don't have any leaks in their front office.
Good.
I think it's a great sign.
We continue. Yeah, I mean, that. So many other teams, and we were just during the break talking about the Zion situation. I mean, the whole thing with the Kings, at the very least, they've always been a kind of a locked vault in terms of keeping things in-house.
Yeah, recently,
and I think that's really, really important.
Mm-hmm.
Who else is really, really important? That's Malik Monk.
Come on.
What he's been able to do for this team in the clutch without De'Aaron Fox. What are you thinking? Give us some of these numbers about Malik and how he's been the king of the clutch with De'Aaron Fox out.
Dude has been just out of this world ridiculous. On Wednesday in that Portland game, in the clutch situation, which I feel like it's, you know, we haven't talked about the clutch minutes much this year. We became very accustomed to talking about clutch numbers last year. But for those who aren't familiar, the NBA defines clutch minutes as when the scoring margin is within 5 points in the final 5 minutes of the game. So it really is the most important, most crucial moments of the game. And in the last 5 minutes and overtime of that Wednesday game in Portland, Malik Monk had 11 points, 9 of 9 from the free throw line, and was a +6 in 7 minutes. Just incredible. Again, he really did do his De'Aaron Fox impression and has done it before in the past as well in a couple games. I think it was that Laker game, if I'm not mistaken. He really closed out that game. Yeah. So far in the clutch this season, Malik has had four different opportunities. Four of their eight games have come down to clutch situations. Malik's got 24 total points, which is tied for seventh. Second in points per game with six. He's shooting 50% from the field, 40% from three in clutch situations, which is excellent. 12 of 12 from the free throw line, which you can maybe argue is the most important stat. In those gotta-have-it minutes, in those gotta-have-it moments, Malik second in the NBA in free throw makes, third in free throw attempts, and is seventh in total assist, 10th in plus-minus. And if I'm not mistaken, let me try and pull up the numbers here really quick. I believe he's also incredibly low when it comes to just total clutch minutes. So he's done all of those great things. He's in the top 10 in just about all of those figures. And even now is, wow, he's not even on the first page right now of total minutes in the clutch that I'm finding. So he's done it in incredibly limited, in the 55th most minutes in the clutch. He has all of those numbers. So he's just been incredibly efficient in that time. And that's, of course, when the Kings have relied heavily, heavily on De'Aaron Fox in the past, specifically last year. So that's definitely a big part of the Kings still, again, keeping their head above water, is the fact that Malik Monk has been able to take a little bit of what De'Aaron Fox can do and replicate some of it. Now, the question is, can he continue to do that with De'Aaron's out, while De'Aaron's out there? Because I said it last year, you can't just have one guy in the clutch that you go to. Now, of course, game winners, you know, last minute of the game, totally, you can have your guys, your best players, those are the guys you want to take shots, but you don't want to become too predictable in those last 5 minutes, because that's where you become a guy like Donovan Mitchell, who just is ISOing, and we all know he's going to get the ball. So if the Kings can have two different guys who are incredibly impactful in clutch minutes, that's huge. And the fact, I think the biggest number, again, is the fact that Malik has gotten to the line 12 times already in clutch situations. That's elite, elite stuff.
Yeah, the tough part about this is, and those numbers all are outstanding for Malik, the tough part about this when De'Aaron Fox returns is that as a fan base, right, as a fan base, and I would say even as that team, does it still feel like to you when you can sit here and say, oh, well, we can't be so one-dimensional, but once you get to the fourth, you really only want De'Aaron taking a shot. If Malik takes a shot and misses, your first thought, and I'm not trying to speak for you, but I think most people's first thought is, well, De'Aaron may as well have shot that.
Sure.
And how do you balance that? Because there might be some of that also on the team, right? Feeling like, hey, if we're going to go down, let's go down by our best player not hitting the shots. But or you could have somebody else take shots and not go down.
Yeah,
so that is going to be a tango, if you will, in terms of how these teams or how the Kings are able to massage that, because this would be, if they're in a close game tonight, right, you would be in that situation, because Malik has been, hey, I've been the guy, De'Aaron, that's where you might see some awkwardness early on in the game when things are free flowing, we're getting everybody, the vibes are right, the fire is going off, and De'Aaron Fox has returned, when everything at the beginning is going to be great. If it's a close game at the end and it's, hey, you want to go or I want to go, you know, when you're walking into a store, right, and you both, you and somebody else are kind of there at the same time, or someone's coming this one way and you're coming the other way, and you both, oh, sorry, no,
sorry, excuse
no, you
me.
Go, oh, oh, thank you for the stance, and you just walk away. That's why, you don't say that? I say that sometimes. Thank you for the stance.
Made it three times more awkward.
Thank you for the stance. And you just get out of here.
God, that's you're such a father already.
I know, man, it just happens quick. That's what might happen towards the end of the game, where it's, hey,
your
De'Aaron,
turn, my turn.
You're the guy.
Yeah.
I've been the guy, but you're the guy. Who's going to shoot? You're going to shoot. Yeah. So it could happen. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe the Kings blow them out and it's not a close game anyway. Yeah. Right,
made me think of the little Calvin Cambridge situation in Like Mike, you know, when he like loses his powers and they're just passing it back and forth.
He's it's like, you shoot it.
No, but you did it so well when I wasn't here.
Right.
I was only doing it because you weren't here. So here you go. And it's just a back and forth of those two. I hear what you're saying. I think there's definitely going to be some of that for sure. And I think sometimes Malik does have a little bit of that JaVale McGee thing where sometimes he does get a little bit outside of himself and he feels a little bit excited in those moments. And I think that's kind of the push-pull that they're going to have to try and find. And frankly, that's kind of the next step of Malik's development as well, is if he wants to be a guy on his next team or in his next contract, I should say, he's going to have to kind of eliminate those moments in the clutch, because you can't. The one thing you cannot have in those clutch moments, you can get to the free throw line, you can hit all the big shots you want, but if you're turning the ball over or just can't be relied on by your coach to have the ball in those moments, that's when it becomes troublesome. And frankly, I mean, yeah, you're going to find yourself out of the rotation to close games. So it's probably not going to be a seamless fit, but I think more so the fact that this is somebody else getting confidence in those minutes as well, where this can still be De'Aaron's show, but Malik has the confidence knowing, hey, if this thing comes to me, there ain't no holdup. Like, I'm going to attack this the same way he can. And if you're going to give me the open look, that's a mistake, because I'm just as dangerous as that other guy. It's just going to be a matter of those two kind of figuring it out. But that's where you kind of hope that their off-the-floor chemistry kind of plays into a factor in kind of smoothing that out a little.
And I'm going to say something. I might be going too far here, but in terms of just his ability to get downhill, as we got to get to a break soon, you know, he plays for the Kings. And on the Titans, there's a dude nicknamed King Henry.
Mm.
And when Malik Monk gets downhill, it honestly reminds me of a running back. Yeah. It does. Yeah. Not that there's just running into people, but he could be a finesse running back or a King Henry type, Derrick Henry running back. It's just unstoppable. Mm-hmm. It's unstoppable.
He's got so many things he can go to when he gets, like, when he gets that half step towards the rim.
Yeah.
He can either elevate, and we've seen, like, his finishing, how crafty he is in the air. He's just such a ridiculous athlete. He can finish on whatever side of the rim. We've seen him dump it off to Sabonis. I mean, I think he's capable of finding, as Mike Brown likes to call him, the spray threes, where, you know, he drives and then kicks. He's that's to me when he's at his scariest, is when he's going downhill. And like you said, it feels like he's Derrick Henry. It feels like the world is his oyster and he can just kind of pick and choose whatever he wants.
Yeah. So if there was a team that would be able to stop that, it would be the Cavs with the two big boys that they have on their front court or in their front court. So we'll see if that happens. Got to get to a break. When we get back, we are talking about Keon Ellis and whether he should remain in the starting lineup. And yes, it's time. It's 1:15, and we keep our promises. It's time for your dog segment. So get your dogs lined up. Kyle, we're going to hear your dog. Chris, yours as well. You on the YouTube chat, text line, and call in as well. 916-339-1140. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Who let the dogs out?
Hooter, hooter.
Your home for Kings basketball for over 25 seasons.
Sacktown Sports.
Styles and Watkins, it's about that time. You hear it. Actually,
we're not supposed to play this.
We're playing this for Friday's win.
Okay.
So we're playing this for Friday's win, so we're good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the rules are stipulating it's only after wins?
Yeah, yes. We do our dog segment before games, no matter what.
Yeah.
But we only play a dog-focused song after the W. But technically, this is okay because they won on Friday.
So many rules.
Okay. There you go.
This is like Alan's rules to Sacktown.
No. This is... No.
Don't.
Chris, we were both... No, I'm not going to go there.
Okay.
No, Chris and I, we both came up with these rules. Yes. All right. Let's get them on the YouTube chat. Let's get them on the text line. Who is going to be your dog of the evening? And I'm, you know.
Just to clarify, we're picking our dogs for tonight.
Yes.
For tonight's game.
Yes,
this is not a recap of
my, if we can do that too quickly, my recap, I picked Keegan. Mm. I thought he'd be hotter from three.
Sure.
But I did say Keegan would have 25 points, and he had 24.
Adamant. Yes.
He had 24, so I'm happy with my pick. Your pick's a bonus, right on the money.
Come on, near trip dub. What are we talking about?
Right on
17,
the money.
13, and 13 for Sabonis on Friday.
Wow.
But, I think you could still argue that he wasn't the biggest dog of the day. I would say Kevin might have been the real runaway pick with that. So,
yeah.
You know, I think we had Kevin good, solid picks, but we didn't knock it out the park. So the goal is to knock it out the park.
Wait, didn't Nate pick JaVale McGee?
That was a
no,
couple
Nate,
days ago.
I think Nate switched to Alex Len, actually, funny enough.
Yeah. Which, again,
he played
he's
well.
Taking chances.
He played well. Exactly.
He's taking chances, right? And we're going to take some chances tonight. We're going to take some chances
Did
today.
Did Nate save that sound?
I don't know. Kyle, you want to go first? Your dog?
Well, my dog, since I'm going to my first game this year at Golden One Center, I'm going to take my favorite player on the Sacramento Kings. I'm going to go with Keegan.
Murray.
There you go.
Yeah. I was looking at you.
You got to elongate the
Keegan. Murray. Okay, you got Keegan.
I got Keegan. Dog. 25 points. Let's go.
All right. Manny Too Legit says Keegan, my dog. Manny's got Keegan. I'm not going Keegan. I went Keegan last time. Who are you going
with? Can you go first? I got to think.
Sure. So we have MD Knight, who also wants Murray as well. And I have something to say.
Oh, boy.
This is about going out on a limb. And if I'm wrong tomorrow, I will wear it like a jacket.
Wow, you're a big Jordan Ford guy, huh?
Well, no. No, I am. No, I'm not saying I'm not. It's not going to be my dog. My dog will be the Black Falcon, Harrison Barnes. Mm. I'm not saying it's going to be 27 and a half.
Okay.
But I'm going Harrison Barnes for my dog. And am I confident?
Okay.
You know, we're going to see. But I think that dog is coming out. Harrison, you know, you lost in the poll. You lost in my poll to Andrew Wiggins. And I think Harrison, who is a friend of the show and following along, is going to say, you know what? I'm going to prove some people wrong. Today, I'm expecting 17 from Harrison Barnes.
But the real question, how many minutes will he play?
Minutes don't matter. Not this time.
Nope.
17, and I'll give you this one. 17 and 4 rebounds.
You really wanted
wow.
to pick.
I wanted to say
very, very specific.
Four.
17 and 4 rebounds. 17 and 4 and 2 assists for Harrison Barnes.
Can I tell you why that's a phenomenal pick?
Why?
Because last year, Harrison Barnes played exceptionally well against the Cleveland Cavaliers. I'm looking at his splits from last year. He averaged 20 points per game against Cleveland in two matchups. He was a total 11 for 17 from the field, 5 of 10 from 3, 13 of 18 from the line. And, finished with 20 points in both of those matchups.
Wow.
So,
I did my research.
Yeah, might have been, looking into your crystal ball and seeing something there. I like the pick for Harrison Barnes. And frankly, I mean, yeah, Cleveland really doesn't have many guys who can match up with the Kings 6'8", to be funny enough. I mean, the Kings usually are in the disadvantage in that sense where they're always going against a team that seems to have four or five guys who are 6'7 to 6'9 and play the wing. So the Kings might actually have the advantage there. I think Harrison's a phenomenal pick. I'm going to go with my dog for tonight. You know what? Let's stick with Kevin Huerter. I think it's going to be a two-way performance tonight from Kevin Huerter. I think he's going to have 20-plus. I think he's going to hit 4 threes. And I think he's going to play really good defense. Do I think it's going to be on Donovan Mitchell or Caris LeVert? I think he's going to play good defense on Donovan Mitchell. I really think Mike Brown's going to throw him out there.
And show up offensively.
I looked at the numbers yesterday. Kevin's leading the team in deflections and deflections per game as well. Kevin kind of sneakily has been a really good, long-rangey defender for the Kings.
He get rebounds, too.
He just kind of struggles at the point of attack. He'll get blown by because he doesn't really have the physical gifts to stay in front of guys, but excuse me. Shows an ability, I think, to stay in front of guys with his length and just bother people and, again, get deflections, get his hand into passing lanes and things. So I'm going to go with Kevin Huerter tonight.
Wow.
To be two-way Kevin Huerter.
Two-way Kevin Huerter.
Come on.
The Huerter Heater,
Come
part
on.
Two.
Come on.
Okay, so we have Kevin Huerter for Chris. We have Harrison Barnes for myself. Mm. And Kyle, who did you have again?
Keegan Murray.
Secondarily,
Jordan Ford. He's going to be awesome in garbage time when they're up by 30.
209 on the text line. Walter from Stockton. My dog of the night is, and this is how you do it, Kyle. He goes, Keegan with 5 dots, dot, 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 Murray. Good stuff.
Yep.
Good stuff. So we got a lot for Keegan.
Ian
we
on also the YouTube have, chat, Alex yeah. Len.
Alex Len, okay, Jess Escoto saying it's going to be Davion, which it could be. I'm telling you, it could be Davion.
He's going to be guarding Garland.
Right, he could shut those guys down and still be able to do some things offensively. So a lot of good picks tonight. Sabonis, we still need you to show up even though you're nobody's dog tonight. It's just because we expect it from you. Sabonis is almost the easy pick.
Right
at this point,
yeah.
In time.
Unless he's slumping, it's kind of an easy pick to do him because again, we just kind of know that he's going to be heavily involved no matter what.
There you go. And speaking of Davion Mitchell, who is now coming off the bench after starting first couple games with De'Aaron Fox out, let's switch over to Keon Ellis, who in the last two games, offensively, hasn't necessarily been anything to write home about, but defensively, he has been exactly what you could hope for. Yeah. Steals, deflections, that Skywalker dunk. Are you keeping Keon Ellis in the starting lineup, and if so, why?
I think it's tough. I don't know if he needs to. I like him in the starting lineup when De'Aaron's not there. Obviously, he's not going to be in the starting lineup when Fox returns,
right.
But I don't necessarily want to see him just go back to DNPs. I think he's shown enough defensively to have some level of impact that makes me feel like he deserves to have some minutes out there. Now, the offense is going to kind of be the question. He's shot terribly since entering the starting lineup.
He got one.
11%.
He got one on Friday.
He's shot 11% on 4.5 threes through his two starts, shot 27% on 5.5 field goal attempts per game, again, through these two games. So it hasn't looked good on offense, but I just think he's a guy who brings he's a tone setter. Like defensively, what he's going to bring every single night, and I think that's incredibly valuable, even if it's only going to be for 10 minutes or something. I think that the 10 minutes of great defense he brings really could impact the outcome of a game here or there. I think that he's a really special defender. His ability to get his hands on people who are driving the lane and getting his hand on the ball. He's different. Like, he's just something that this Kings team really doesn't have. And I would love to see him kind of stay in the rotation. I don't know who the minutes are going to come at the expense of, but I would say that he's played well enough in these two games defensively to warrant a rotational spot right now.
Yeah, minutes are hard to come by.
They're 2-0 in this two starts. So.
Minutes are hard to come by, right? I think that having Davion and Keon Ellis is a little redundant.
Yeah.
Even though Davion has shot the ball much better than Keon, he's also been doing it more. He should.
For sure.
He should, right? So I can't see both of them getting a ton of minutes together. And we've already discussed how Chris Duarte just can't buy minutes right now. So, yeah, definitely a bit of a log jam little bit, which is what we kind of felt would happen.
Yeah, for sure.
If Keon gets some opportunities, though, I think that the only way he's going to stay is if there's a specific role for him.
Yeah.
Hey, we got a guy tonight, is Shai Gilgeous, somebody like that we need to stick you on, which that could be. I mean, by the way, I walked by Shai during their taco bar, right, when we're walking back to the media section. I'll be honest, he did not look 6'6 to me.
Okay.
He didn't. I don't know, maybe he didn't have shoes on or something. He didn't look 6'6.
Is this an official report? Is this
sources? I'm just saying, the only reason I say that is because I'm thinking, Keon, no wonder you locked him up.
Right.
When you locked him up.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. I think the interesting thing, is going to be where they kind of fall on him versus Davion. Mm-hmm. I think you kind of hit the nail on the head there, because I was looking at the five-man lineup numbers, and there's a big difference. They've actually done really well in the Keon Ellis inserted into the starting lineup minutes. They're a +9 in net rating over 35 minutes, which is the third most used lineup. The other two are the other starting lineups, one with Fox and one with Davion. And the one with Davion, let me tell you, it's those numbers. I think they're a -16 net rating. That starting lineup specifically looks terrible with Davion in it, especially when you look at the numbers. And the defensive rating is the best of any lineup that they've used with the over 15 minutes defensively in terms of defensive rating. So I just think it makes a whole lot of sense to just continue to throw Keon out there. And I hate to say it, but if it's at the expense of Davion Mitchell at this point in time, I kind of don't mind it, because I think if you can unlock something with Keon, I just think it could be a little bit more beneficial in the long run. You can run him at point guard. I think you can maybe also steal some minutes with him on a wing guy, like kind of, right now we've seen them throw Kessler Edwards in those kind of situations. Mm-hmm. I wonder if, yeah, like a Donovan Mitchell or, you know, a Bradley Beal or maybe even a Devin Booker, if they were to look at Keon instead of going for Kessler Edwards there, because I just think Keon defensively is at a different level than everybody else.
It's a good point.
Yeah.
It's a good point. Now, specifically tonight, I think that Davion does have a spot.
For sure.
Because I think, you know, Donovan Mitchell isn't as big as Shea or whoever it is like that. So, got to get to a break. But real quick, before we end the segment, coming in at the buzzer, the 707, my dog, in all caps, is Sasha Vezenkov to finally have a coming out game. Now,
that'd be great.
707 is what we like to hear. Might be the text of the day because we love when you think outside the box. Got to get to a break. When we get back, we take a trip around the NFL, and at 145, of course, we will have crosstalk with the Drive Guys, and they will yell at me because I didn't talk about the Drive Guys on Friday.
Do they have a show today? Do
when
they even
we
have
didn't
a program
talk
today?
About them.
Do we know?
So look out for that at 145. That'll be fun. 130, taking a trip around the NFL. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Your flagship station for the Beam Team, Sacktown Sports.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. Been a fun one.
Yeah. Been a quick one.
Been a quick one. Yeah, did not feel like a Monday. And as we said, last Monday we did a segment, Case of the Mondays.
Yeah.
This Monday, no point. No point in doing it because nobody has a Case of the Mondays. If you are a Kings fan, you got a W. If you are a Niners fan, you got a W. And if you are a Raiders fan, you got a W as well. And Chris called that game boring. I thought that was wildly
the
exciting.
Raiders game yesterday? That was
wildly exciting.
Wildly exciting.
Yes.
That Aiden O'Connell, Zach.
Masterclass.
Zach Wilson matchup, that does it for you?
The Aiden O'Connell masterclass.
Yeah, with one total touchdown.
It's really scary how much Aiden O'Connell reminds me of Derek Carr. And I know I'm not the first person to say
that, but
it's
the same number.
It's the number four. It's like even the play style a little bit is like, you know, it's sometimes he makes some throws that I'm like, that was kind of lofted in there. And I'm like, maybe it's just PTSD from watching him.
He's the actor that they would cast in a movie about Devontae Adams' life.
What do you mean?
He plays Derek Carr in a movie about Devontae Adams.
No. Well, I will say this, and we did a whole thing about 40-yard dashes, but I will say this. In terms of old school quarterbacks and being mobile, Aiden O'Connell is not mobile at all. No. And we talked about there are not many quarterbacks out there that just can't move at all.
Yeah. He's one of them.
Derek Carr is faster than Aiden O'Connell now.
Yep.
That's not a good look for me.
Yeah.
Personally, what I would do if I were the Raiders.
Yeah.
And I'm just going
to
go here.
Let me tell you, as someone who went from pretty much statued quarterback to incredibly mobile quarterback,
dude, Dobbs.
It's like, again, I use this all the time, but it's like
Newton?
The world is your oyster, man.
Yeah.
It's just there's so many different possibilities that are opened up that I never knew that the world could be like this. I didn't know these colors existed before.
Yeah.
I just thought everything had to be black, white, and gray. Who knew you could throw yellows and oranges and greens and all sorts of fun purple colors out there.
I just saw him take off, and I was thinking, wow, okay. Okay.
Some mixture of Lamar Jackson, Cam Newton, Michael Vick.
Yeah.
And just a wince of Tom Brady in there from.
There
from
you go. I mean, Josh Dobbs right now, he's playing out of his mind.
He's ridiculous.
Good for him. Eric S., as we talked about, Shea Gildress, I said I saw him at the taco bar that the team had on Friday, and he didn't look 6'6". Well, he did it, okay? And like I said, maybe it's tough because everybody looks the same for me, but he did not look 6'6 to me. But no, Eric S., I'm not trying to make him a Zont. That would be nice,
I'm not
trying to make him a
Zont.
Yeah, right. No, he's not even an NBA Zont. He's
a
Zont. He's definitely not a Zont. I just didn't see 6'6". That's all.
That's fair. That's
SGA,
all.
SGA, short king.
He's got crazy wingspans.
Here we go again. You know. Speaking of, as we talk Raiders and what they're going to do next. Look, I know there have been some conversations about Kyler and his lack of
stature.
No. That's not what I was going to say.
We're talking about Zonts.
Responsibility.
Okay, well, can I finish?
No. We're just going to keep guessing. Sorry.
Ability to see over an offensive line.
The video
line.
Games. Yes. If I'm the Raiders,
new Call of Duty's coming out soon.
It is.
I saw
the Cardinals are stuck, right? If I'm the Raiders, I think about bringing in Kyler.
No, it makes a lot of sense. I mean, especially if they're going to continue to win games. Like, what, they're 5-5 right now? They're not going to be in the Drake May and the maybe – doesn't seem like Caleb Williams situation
it's
either.
Too late. It's
I can't,
too late.
I can't believe how far Caleb's sliding nowadays. It makes a lot of sense. It does. Is it the smartest move? Probably not. A guy who's coming off ACL surgery who's – 5'9", and
it's a ridiculous contract.
It's a ridiculous contract, and you're going to throw him in Vegas where there's not many distractions or anything like that, and that organization is so tippy top.
But the video game, but the video game championships are all in Vegas anyway.
That's true.
So he doesn't have to travel.
That's true.
He's already
That's
out
a
there.
Great point. That is a fantastic point that I don't think enough people are talking about.
Jimmy G is going to end up being their starter next year.
No, there's no way. There's literally no way.
It's an inevitable.
No, there's actually no way.
Kyle,
he already. Got somebody
you,
fired.
Yes, Kyle. We will make a wager here on the show.
I just said, like, the Niners traded 3 first-round picks for a quarterback, and then Jimmy G was their starter 2 years later. Like, once you invite him in, he's never allowed to leave.
What is he, Dracula?
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
He's
like the Hotel California. You can check out anytime you like, but he'll never leave.
No, I'm telling you right now.
Jimmy is
not.
You're describing
Don't
him like
that,
a parasite.
Right,
where
right. Don't put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby. We are not doing. No. We are not doing the Jimmy G thing.
It's an inevitability.
He needs a host body, and apparently, it's the Raiders right now.
Just bouncing. This
yeah,
is
just
ridiculous.
Sucking the soul
pretend
out of
like
franchises.
You're trying. Yeah, get Kyler. At least pretend like you're trying to win.
The Cowboys.
It's a very Raider move.
That was it.
It's a very.
Think
Raider.
About it. Yeah. Look, the way Antonio Pierce has got everybody buttoned up, I think that's someone that could say, "Hey, Kyler. This is what we're going to do. You get Davante Adams.
Yeah, it's better than nothing.
You have
for sure.
Josh Jacobs. Well, actually, they'd have to re-sign Josh Jacobs. Just think about it. So the Cowboys, again, very similar to the Niners, front-running Fredericks or whatever you want to call them, 640 yards on the JV team, Tommy DeVito. Do the Giants beat the Georgia Bulldogs right now?
Oh, no. We're doing that.
I'm not trying to be disrespectful.
Probably not, honestly. Not with Tommy DeVito.
Okay. Let me put you like this. Do the Bulldogs cover?
Probably.
Let's say Vegas would probably make it
probably
like
10 or something. I don't know.
No,
like
Vegas
eight,
would probably
five.
Even make it like 30. It's an
know,
NFL
man.
Team.
No, I wouldn't go that
Georgia?
Far.
Georgia? Talking about Georgia?
Vegas would make it about 20. 25
I don't
points.
Know.
I'll put you like this. The Cowboys were favored by 16.5. Over another NFL team, the Giants.
The best thing I can say is Brock Bowers would have like 170 receiving yards against
That's
the
true.
Giants defense.
Can we mention the fact that the Cowboys have now beaten the Giants by a combined score of 89-17 in two games? 89-17.
Stephen A. Smith hopped on
and they're in
social
their division.
Media. He said, please, NFL, stop showing
Just stop.
Us the Giants.
Just stop.
It's not good for your brand. It's not.
They even tried to pretend like Tommy DeVito was this feel-good story. They were like, the local kid from New Jersey is going to come in and revive his NFL career. And then he just got smoked
it
out the paint.
It was not good.
There was a garbage time thing, but at one point, Tommy DeVito would have had to play 47 quarters to match Dak Prescott's passing numbers.
Jeez. Well, you talk about the different games and how there's parity right now in the NFL, somewhat due to the injuries, which you're always going to deal with in the NFL. This is from Field Yates. 5 NFL teams converted a game-winning field goal with no time remaining. That's the most game-winning scores with no time left in regulation in a single week in NFL history. So between last week and all of the backups, and this week with just great games and CJ Stroud and all of that, is the NFL in a really good place right now or in a really bad place? I'm confused at where the NFL is.
I think it's not in a good place. If I'm not mistaken, scoring is still at pretty historic lows. It feels like quarterback-wise, we went from having everybody kind of had a guy that they were hitching their wagons to now it feels like half the NFL is starting rookies or guys who have just never played before. So if I had to put some label on it, I would probably say the NFL's not in the best spot it's been in the past. Though it is nice to kind of have a little bit of parity where it feels like there isn't really, you know, the Chiefs don't feel like they're head and shoulders better than everybody, and you know, the Eagles don't necessarily feel, you know, the NFC is definitely still for grabs. So in that sense, it's nice, but at the same time, I would say we all know that narrative-wise, a dominant team just, you know, that's always going to be best for the NFL, is when there's a big bad out there that everybody's trying to conquer, and it just doesn't feel like that team exists right now.
I think it's still the Chiefs, just because whenever the Chiefs have a primetime game, they always show up.
Right.
But
they have weaknesses.
Right,
that I think,
plenty of weaknesses.
I don't think people have ever thought of them as being this beatable. Mm. Like, with their lack of receivers, it just really feels like you can't, you know, it's not going to take a miracle for you to beat the Chiefs. You know, before it kind of felt like you really were going to have to get them on an off night. And it feels to me like I just wouldn't be afraid of their pass offense.
Got to get to a break. When we get back, crosstalk. Is Whitey going to yell at me?
Probably.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Your new home for 49ers football in the 916, Sacktown Sports.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. If you've ever seen a video of Beyonce or one of these really good performers, when something changes or gets messed up a little bit or whatever, you never can tell. They just keep the party rocking and you can't tell. And in this technical day and age, things happen. So it will be Styles and Watkins here.
Hi.
To close you out for the last 15. No crosstalk today because the guys, that is the Drive guys, by the way, Whitey and Drapes, they are in the building.
Mm-hmm.
They are in the building doing their thing. If you see them, say hello. And I'll say hello to them, even though they're both mad at me for not promoting their show on Friday, which is why I wanted
them
on.
They really let you hear it.
They are still letting me hear it. And they're probably going to let me hear it at the beginning of their show. But hopefully we get crosstalk with them in the building tomorrow.
Yeah,
and we can chat about that and all that jazz. So I ask you.
Yeah.
We already done dogs of the game.
Yeah.
You know, there's also bold predictions. There is a form of that. But what is your biggest key to the game for the Kings?
I would say, how about this? How about just, keeping Sabonis out of foul trouble? With Allen and Mobley both back there, I mean, clearly the Kings are going to have to, and no Trey Lyles either, which Trey would, you could argue this would be a perfect game to maybe throw out Trey Lyles at the center and run that small ball big where you are pulling guys like Jared Allen or Evan Mobley out from the paint. But Sabonis has to be involved 35 minutes tonight, if I had to guess, just to deal with those two and make their lives as difficult as possible. And, key number two would kind of piggyback off that and say, don't be afraid to attack the rim. Just because those guys are there,
try to get them in foul trouble.
Yeah, exactly. That doesn't mean that you should just completely avoid them and say and concede defeat in that area. You know, you should take it at them and make them make plays. You know, Jared Allen's still coming back from injury. He came back, I think him and Garland both came back a couple weeks ago. But Jared Allen, block-wise, if you look at his numbers, he's under a block per game. Like, he hasn't been able to really find the form that he had last season, the guy he's been throughout his career so far. So just because those twin towers are there, don't be afraid to attack, man, because, with the way that they attacked the rim on Friday and as well on Wednesday against Portland, I think that they could still manage to finish pretty well, and especially if De'Aaron's there as well. I would love to see the Kings just attack and attack and attack that rim and try and set up open perimeter shots. I already know that the perimeter is probably going to be the thing that determines tonight's outcome, whether or not the Kings actually hit their shots or not. But you can't just be reliant on that three-point shot, because we saw how that went in Houston, and frankly, it was the worst basketball I think I've seen this Kings team play in a really long time. So still got to get to the rim. Can't be afraid of those two big guys.
You have to put pressure on them. You can't let them just hang out. And also, offensively, we know Mobley wants to be a part of the conversation.
Yep.
So you got to make them work defensively. Mm-hmm. I think that's a big piece of this. 916-339-1140. Get your calls and your texts in before the show ends. From the 714, Sabonis exposing Chet was the most dog in all caps move ever, all while throwing up an easy triple-double.
Super easy.
Super easy.
Yeah, it was a great performance. You could maybe argue that's like what we should expect from an average Domas night. Again, like, it feels like he can stumble into 17, 10, and 8 just about every single night. And you throw on the fact, I was hoping it would be an impact in last Friday's game, but I do think that that Gonzaga thing really did play a piece in Sabonis's edge. Like, yeah, he was not afraid. Like, he was actively taking it to Chet. And it wouldn't surprise me if Sabonis sent in that Kodak picture to, you know, the Gonzaga people, yeah, and said, hey, you know,
put it in the Louvre.
Yeah, if y'all are looking for some locker room art or something like, yeah, that, you know, here's two Gonzaga guys going at it, you know, and you know, I might have been on the good end of it. So
yeah,
I definitely think that played a part in it. And yeah, Sabonis, frankly, I mean, whatever it takes, big guys don't really have too many nights off, and tonight isn't one of those nights. So he's got to do the same exact thing and kind of deal with it double. You know, mm-hmm, you got Evan Mobley and you have Jared Allen. You're going to have to figure out a way to make at least one of those guys' days a lot more difficult than what it needs to be. Because, yeah, if Cleveland can get both of those guys going, it's going to be a long night. And frankly, I mean, just because the Kings have played well, or played better, I should say, these last two games, the ship is not righted. You know, mm-hmm, they haven't completely figured this thing out. There's still possibility that that tonight could be a letdown game. So they also have to keep that in mind and not feel like, okay, we're back and the shots will just fall and everything's gonna fall into place. They still need to attack these games the same way they've been attacking these past two games, because yeah, I mean, no win is guaranteed, and you know, Cleveland's definitely not going to roll over just because they're kind of sputtering out the gate as well.
Right. Cleveland still sees it as an opportunity. They're trying to hang on and see if De'Aaron Fox is going to play or not. Like you said, there are challenges if De'Aaron Fox doesn't play, and there are challenges if De'Aaron Fox does play. So really, we have to wait and try and figure out whether that's going to happen or not, yep, but we're excited to see how that is all going to progress. For me, I would say from a guard position, choose one. Choose one guy that you are not going allowed to go off.
Yeah.
I think that as much as you can see, oh, 15 for Darius Garland and a, not a 50 burger, but 40 for right, Donovan Mitchell, that's no bueno. Mm-hmm. But I think it's more bueno than Donovan Mitchell, 35,
for sure, yeah,
and you have Darius Garland, 27 or something, right, like that, and they're in a groove the whole time. They're passing the rock. I would say, and whether that's Davion or whoever, somebody just eliminate one of, yeah, the guards and just do the best you can on the other guard. But say, hey, we're not letting, if Donovan wants to shoot 50 times, Darius Garland, yeah, is not going to eclipse 15
for
points.
Sure. What's the number you want to see between the two? If you had to just throw a number that feels like if the Kings can hold Garland and Mitchell below 50 points or 55 points between the two, that feels like
realistically,
yeah,
I would say if you,
this is a team that just allowed Shea over 30 and you know, Jeremy Grant over 30 as well, so.
Right, but the other guys didn't really go off,
no, for
like
sure,
that
exactly,
so
yeah.
I would say, yeah, I mean, Shea got to 33, mm-hmm, right, so I would say if Donovan is sitting at about 27,
okay,
And Darius gets to more than 20, obviously.
Okay. So we'll say 50.
I would say about 50, yeah, 53 points. Yeah. Under 55 points, I think, yeah, you walk away with the W.
I think that sounds about right because, again, sometimes these things are just as simple as math. And it's like, if Garland and Mitchell aren't going to get up to 55 or 50,
right,
well, then you need a big performance out of Caris LeVert. And
right,
you probably need a really big scoring night out of Evan Mobley or Max Strus or something like that. And that's definitely another thing that the Kings are going to have to, you know, while, yes, they will have to, you know, try and limit Donovan Mitchell from going off. You know, you gotta try and plug as many holes as possible, and you can't let Max Strus slip around and give you 20 on accident because he, you know, gets hot and you're really trying to focus on slowing down Garland, and so, you know, that affects how you guard the perimeter. They have to make sure that they can't have that Skylar Mays 18-10 performance out of some random tonight.
What did we say? We were talking a couple days ago, converted from the two-way
yes,
contract.
Sir.
The Sacramento Kings generating generational wealth. Happy for Skylar Mays.
Yeah.
And
existence
and
since 2007. Sacramento Kings giving generational wealth,
wow,
out to your favorite random NBA players.
What I like about this matchup, and hopefully De'Aaron does play, but what I like about this matchup is it's not the Spider-Man meme, but there are a couple spots where it is, right? You have Strus and Herter, mm-hmm, two shooters. Hey, who's going to be hotter? You have Malik and Caris LeVert, battle of the six man. Right. And for me, I have my futures pick on Malik Monk, so I hope Malik goes off. And then if you do get De'Aaron Fox playing, De'Aaron Fox versus Davion Mitchell.
Donovan
Mitchell.
It's the last day you're going to have to deal with it.
Jeez.
It's the worst. It's the worst. It's the actual worst.
It's a lot.
Imagine what happened last year when Kessler Edwards got traded and just a lot of Walker Kessler.
Kessler Edwards. Called him Walker Kessler so much.
It's just a nightmare.
So Mitchell on Mitchell, right? So there you go. So I think that all of those different matchups will be very entertaining.
Yeah, for sure.
And if you don't get De'Aaron, right? Then I'm looking for Keon Ellis to continue to get a little bit more confident with his shot. I think slowly but surely. He's doing a lot of those pump fakes, and I get it. Early in the shot clock, no.
Yeah.
But once you get a little bit later, if the ball has come back around to you,
you
might want to just
take
that shot.
Absolutely, yeah. I frankly think he's done a good job of not forcing it. I think we talked about it when he first got entered into the starting lineup, but it feels like a natural human thing to go out there and say, all right, I'm in the starting lineup. Let me do as much as I possibly can to show that this is the right decision. Let me hoist up that shot because I'm open, all that stuff. I think Keon actually has done a really good job of trying to keep himself measured. And I think in that game on Friday, he was 1 of 7, I think, from 3 or 0 of 6 or something like that. All those shots, like you perfectly put there, it's when the ball comes back to you where it's like, look, you can't turn down that shot. And that's when I don't care what he can go 0 of 6 again. I'm just okay with him taking that shot because that's going to be the thing that keeps him out there is when he can hit those shots, when the ball gets back to him. And then, of course, defense is going to be the main thing that keeps him on the floor anyway.
Will the Kings get another underdog beam? We think so here at Sactown Sports. Of course, you can hear the game just like all other games because we are the flagship for Kyle Ledbetter, Chris Watkins, and Alan Stiles. Thank you for listening to Stiles and Watkins. Next up, the Drive Guys with Whitey and Draper. Thank you, Sactown Sports.
Nobody get me twisted. We need De'Aaron Fox. We need N-E-E-D.